says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. I'll remind you that this Sermon on the Mount, which is what we've been studying for some time now, it's chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount was one continual sermon or teaching lesson, if you will, by Jesus. And it's primarily given to his disciples and us today in contrast to the behavior and the actions of the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, the scribes and Pharisees were very hypocritical, self-righteous in almost everything they did. And Jesus, time and time again, points out in this lesson and in other lessons, points out how the scribes and Pharisees are doing things, how they operate. And then he turns around and gives instruction that tells us how to do it, as opposed to how they're doing it. And the scribes and the Pharisees most likely, just think about this, I have no way of knowing for sure, but most likely started out right originally, many years, centuries before this was written. They were probably sincere servants of the Lord, just doing God's work, thought they were doing the right things. But over time, and this can happen, over time, they begin to accumulate tradition. And I'm talking about over decades and then centuries. They began to develop ideas thoughts and philosophies that were their own and not from the Word of God. They began to perceive themselves as above everyone else. And they developed an air of superiority. And in that pride, they just continually pulled from God's word or added to God's word and really began to focus on a way of thinking that suited them and their lifestyle. And they developed a set of rules, mandates, and commandments that were near impossible, really impossible to keep. And they perceived themselves as being the ones that were able to keep it. And so that over time, that caused them to just get the idea that they were the measuring stick, that everybody else is measured by them, that they were the standard, and they would judge people according to that set of rules and mandates and laws that they had developed. So essentially, they were saying, hey, if you can do as well as me, you'll be all right religiously. That was their way of thinking. And so we can kind of hear that and learn that, and we think, well, how in the world could that happen? I mean, they had the Word of God. Well, it could happen very easily, because the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And when man, when a person or a group, especially in the name of religion, began to veer from facts and veer from truth and begin to get their own preferences and interject them, when they get away from the Word of God and begin to enforce their own ideas, their own philosophies, then this can happen. There's no limit to how far man can go with that sort of thing. And it's because of the prideful nature that we all possess. And we can get something in our head and begin to think it's truth, whether it lines up with God's word or not, and become very zealous over those ideas and actually be convinced that we're doing God's work. and that somehow he must be pleased with us. And you say, well, that couldn't happen today. Well, it could happen today as easily as it happened to the scribes and the Pharisees back then. Not likely to the extent that they did, because we don't live by the Old Testament law, which is really what their biggest problem was. But in principle, we can still commit the same sin, even as Baptists. In the Baptist realm, it's been done. It's been probably likely done in churches still today. The 50s and 60s and 70s, those decades of really when fundamentalism was really thriving and growing, which was a really good time. A lot of great churches were built. Don't misunderstand me. But what also happened during those decades was a lot of legalism began to develop, and silly notions surfaced that just for whatever reason they thought, well, we don't think this is right. It wasn't based on God's word. It was, we don't think. And then it became as God's word, so to speak. We laugh about it. We joke about it. I talk to those old time preachers that went through it, and they wish they hadn't have. but things like preaching against wire rim glasses and facial hair. And Michael, you'd be out of here you and Aaron both, and Mike, golly, all of you backslidden guys got facial hair. And you too, Chad, you're not getting out of this. No, they preach again, you know, these sort of things. And I make light of it, but it was silly. Watching TV, playing cards, of course, women wearing pants and things like that, and on and on and on. And again, it was man's own ideas, you know, thinking they're doing right, think they're being holy, thinking they're being teaching righteousness, when in reality, it's not what God's word says, and it's not a hill to die on. And I got saved in 1988, so I missed out on most of that good stuff. But there was a remnant of legalism in our church back home when I got saved, and I actually got caught up in it. Not to the extreme that I just told you, but that thinking, well, you know, I do this and I don't do that, so I must be very spiritual. And I'd like to think that I've grown out of that for the most part. But it's really all about pride. It's about that sort of practice is really saying, look, I don't do what you do, so I am better. That's what it boils down to. And that, my friends, is a greater offense to God than if we were just committing outright immorality. God is more displeased, and sin is bad altogether, okay? But when you read the Gospels, we know that the most harsh rebukes in the New Testament were the ones given to the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that thought they were the elite. They thought they were the measuring stick. They thought they were righteous. And Jesus has some extremely harsh words for them when he was surrounded by sinners. In fact, he sat down and ate with sinners. And don't misunderstand me. Their sins were wrong and stuff, but you don't see as strong a rebuke going to them as you saw going to the scribes and the Pharisees. And so that's just something that we have to recognize, that this sort of thing can seep into even a religious group today. It could seep into our church if we allowed it, okay? So what I want to do for the next few minutes, and I'll be brief, as you know, want to give you a few, we're going to talk about judging. That's what this text is about, but really just give some quick guidelines. I've taught this before, but maybe it'll be helpful reminding you of this. Guidelines to kind of help us discern our approach to people, whether it's judging or whether we're just simply making, you know, a good assessment of the situation. In other words, you know, there's really a balance between either judging someone or just using good discernment and seeing it as it is. And that there's a balance there. And so I think these are some that I did in another message that I thought really was helpful to me, rules of thumb, so to speak, or guidelines in making that determination. Is the way I'm feeling about this person, or the what I'm seeing with this person, is it judging, or am I just using good discernment? Okay, first of all, to judge simply means to make a determination. to make a determination. So in the context of religion or Christianity or the spiritual world, it's when we make a determination unnecessarily. When we nail somebody, that's the way they are, when in actuality it's probably not the way they are. And I'm going to give you, again, four things that we can do to help us not make that mistake. First of all, we're judging when we do it, when we make that determination about that person prematurely. The fact is we're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing people. There are, most of the time, we don't know half the facts. Most of the time, we don't know half the situation, and we don't know the background. We don't know the motives of that person. We don't know the extenuating circumstances. We certainly don't know their heart. And so we oftentimes, not knowing all those things, make up our minds that things are a certain way. This is this and that's that, when in reality, we just don't know. We just don't know. And so because that person, maybe what they're doing is out of line, or whatever it is, whatever we perceive to be their problem. Maybe it is bad, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are bad. Good people do bad things, you know. Good Christians do bad things. And so I think it's warrants us slowing down and maybe withholding our opinion or forming a determination or making a determination about another person until we know more about it, and take our time and it not be impulsive or a knee-jerk assessment of it. And then 99 times out of 100, if we don't say anything at all, we're going to be in better shape anyway. And but it's not just about saying. It's sometimes about thinking. We judge people in our thinking. Okay, the second rule of thumb is we should not judge based on something a person cannot change, something a person has no control over. You see, the religious Jews, especially the scribes and Pharisees, they hated Gentiles. A Gentile was somebody that was non-Jewish, okay? They despised them. And so a person that is not Jewish has no control over being born a Gentile. That's something that's out of their hands. Nobody has control of their skin color or their place of birth or nationality. And so how unfair it is to automatically judge someone as less than or as being in a certain kind of person because of those things. In our society today, ethnicity's not really that big an issue. We live in a smelting pot here in America, so it's not so much ethnicity, but perhaps it can come in another area. Somebody that they were born on the other side of the tracks, so to speak, as our terminology is. And so, well, can they help? That's where they were born? No. We can't judge them according to that. Or a person the way they look, or the person the way they carry themselves. Folks, I'm country as a hayrake. I know I am. And I can't help that because that's the way I was raised. That's all I've ever known. Now, I can improve my grammar. I can work on my communication skills, and I can even become more cultured. But the bottom line is there are things in me that are just there because the way I was born and raised. It's just there. I don't want somebody to discount me because of that and say, well, he's just a country bumpkin. He must be dumber than a bag of rocks. Maybe so, but probably not as bad as you might think. You know, there's things that people can't control. And, if a person's tongue-tied, they're tongue-tied. They can't control that. Or if a person is hard of hearing, or if a person has thick glasses because their eyesight is bad and stuff. And, you know, we can't make fun of or look down upon a person because a person maybe is overweight and these sort of things, okay? And so you say, well, they could lose weight. Well, maybe not. You don't know that. You don't know what their circumstances are. So let's don't judge people or make determinations based on something they cannot change, something that's out of their control. And then thirdly, we're judging when we look at a person based on our own preferences. It's real easy for you and I to accumulate our own set of ideas based on our background, based on our the influences on our life, and so we get some ideology there that is really unique to us, okay? But a lot of times it can be things that are really not cut in stone, things that are not necessarily in line with God's word or morality or the laws of the land or the commandments of the Bible. It's just something that we in our mind have formed with really no biblical basis. Well, we can't judge people according. That's just what we feel. That's just what we think. If a person has long hair, or a person wears earrings, or a person that wears all black and paints their nails black, or drive a lowrider car, or whatever, we can't say, well, that's a bad person because we don't like that sort of thing. It's in honesty, a person colors of her hair pink and things like that. That doesn't mean they're necessarily a bad person. They just got pink hair. You could be a real good person with pink hair. And it's just nose rings and things like this. You know, we tend to, if we're not careful, say, you know, that person must not be a good person. And reality is we would prefer to not have a nose ring perhaps, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're out of line, okay? I'll hurry through this last one. We'll get you out of here. We're judging when we lump people into groups and we don't look at them as an individual, you see. Boy, this is big time today, folks, that because somebody is a particular political persuasion or somebody belongs to this group, anything like that, you know, it's ridiculous. There are people of the opposite political persuasion that are really good people, have good intentions. Some people say, well, I don't see how you could be for abortion and be a Christian. Well, I agree that doesn't line up with God's word at all, but not every Democrat is for abortion. I know that to be true, okay? And there's probably some Republicans that are for abortion, okay? I'm against abortion and wholeheartedly, but I can't lump everybody into groups, you see, because that's not right. We've got such a division, folks, in our country that we're doing this. We're just lumping them into a group. It's another a denomination of church. If somebody's Methodist or somebody is Assembly of God, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad or they're out of line or they're not Christians. Somebody that supports Black Lives Matters, it doesn't mean that they're a looter or a criminal because they support that movement, okay? Can't lump any more than a policeman, because he's a policeman, he must be a rogue. We know that's not true, right? And so let's be fair. Don't lump people into groups. Look at every individual as an individual and who they are. They could be in a group that we don't approve of, but maybe they're just misguided. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I thought I was a Democrat until I was about 21 years old, because my grandpa was a Democrat and I was raised a Democrat. And I'm not nothing against Democrats. There might be some in here, but I, about my mid-20s, got a good look around. I thought, you know, I line more up with the Republicans than I ever do the Democrats. And so, but you know, my grandpa's a good man. He raised me. So be careful. I'm going to be in trouble. That's what's going to happen. All right. I need a safe exit through that back door. Everybody remain seated till I get out here. Now, let's go ahead and stand. Appreciate you guys. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So. All righty. Let's see here. Aaron, will you lead us in prayer, please?